This is the Canucks Central postgame show.
Makar left point. Drops near side for McKinnon. Passes to the back door. One-timer. What a save by Denko. He robbed Lehkonen across to his left. An unbelievable stop from number 35 for the Canucks. And Vancouver still leads. Avalanche are still pressing. Makar in the high slot gets a shot, and Denko stopped him with a glove. Bank pass left in for DeBrusk. Into the Colorado zone. Played into the back door. Besser scores!
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Drouin took it off his skate, played it into the slot, turned it over. Drew O'Connor's out to center. He'll skate it to the red line and dump it towards the empty net. He scores! Drew O'Connor has his first as a Canuck. And it's 3-0 Vancouver with 8.7 seconds left in the hockey game.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks and Thatcher Demko shut out the Avs 3-0 on home ice. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. The Kubota, do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. Satyar Shah with Vic Nazar, and we are going to welcome in Randeep Janda into the conversation, fresh off calling the game alongside Brendan Batchelor. A Canucks victory on home ice. And you can get in touch with us on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. The new Canucks making a big impression again. Philippe Hedl all over the place. The first goal of the game was the game winner, Jake DeBrusk, scoring to make it 1-0, and that's all the Canucks needed. Did add an empty netter. Drew O'Connor, the newest Canuck, also getting on the board, his first goal into an empty net. And, you know, guys, we talk about how the new look Canucks played last game. No Quinn Hughes now, two games in a row. And it was a bit of a nervous first period. They had some chances, but Colorado was all over them. But then the tide turned in the second, and the Canucks really took over the game.
Yeah, there was a bit of a wake-up call, I think, understanding that Colorado hits three posts there. You get lucky to a certain extent. Sure, Brock Besser hit a crossbar himself late in that period. But outside of that, guys, I thought the second period, when Rick Tocchet put the lines in the blender, a message was sent, a message was received, and they were able to really play with speed. And what I liked about that second period was the quick decision-making, right? Yeah. Taking that space that's in front of you. And on that 1-0 goal, Filip Hronek wins the puck. And then he doesn't just, you know, we've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
You let the puck in, you go do the dump and chase, you peel back. No, he took the opportunity, he took the space, he drives that puck towards the net, and Elias Pettersson takes a couple of defenders with him. They back up, and Jake DeBrusk is attacking, scores that goal. And that was really, I think, that decision-making and making, you know, making plays, right? That's something that we've heard the coach talk about. We started to see that in the second period.
Yeah, fair play across the board, right? Because we mentioned the first period was a bit high event for Colorado. They had certainly other opportunities. So you got a little bit of everything out of this game because now you got to raise your level, and they certainly did. And not only raise their intensity, but also remain composed with that. The coaching staff had to make their changes, and they did. Demko had a couple of posts in the first period, but how remarkable was he the rest of the way? Headlined by that saves on Makar and Lehkonen in that second period. And then the rest of the team followed suit. They stuck up for each other, which we'll get to a talking point through the course of this evening. But you had all these elements, and you needed every bit to push this over the line to get 2 points tonight, which for me was a must-win game, right? I know it's still, you know, game 53, and is it too early to make those statements? But now you claw a little bit closer to Colorado. You have two games in hand. Calgary loses. You're back on even terms with them. Even games played. And it just, like, this is how you start doing it. Sat, you were saying to me, like, amidst all the things here, points in five of their last six games all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, because now this is how you get back into the mix. You know, it's not just about winning two or three games in a row. You have to prolong this. Now you got 5-6. You've only dropped 3 points so far over this stretch. Have to continue this, right? And, you know, you start doing the numbers, as much as the Canucks are now tied with the Calgary Flames, you still have to win, like Bick was saying, what? Until
there's, if you want to get to, like, 95 points, which is not even a comfortable number,
right,
you would have needed 19 wins of the last 30 games here.
Yeah.
So, or 38 points of the last 60 available.
Yeah.
So, that, like, it's a high number that they still have to hit.
And maybe because of Calgary, the playoff bar will be lower, but you don't want to
punch your own ticket.
Exactly,
right? You don't want to rely on other teams, you know, not being able to do their job. But, you know, this win, You talked about Colorado. That's the first wild card team. Having 2 points on them is big, and now you have, what, over two games, scored 6 goals against them. They've scored one on you. And I thought one of the adjustments that was made in the second period, guys, that Canucks were chipping more bodies in the neutral zone. They're taking away that speed for Natchez and also Nathan MacKinnon, right? We also saw great sticks tonight, whether it was Marcus Pettersson or Elias Pettersson, just the ability to kind of disrupt, which in the second period we started to see more of that. So I thought, that adjustment from period one to period two is huge, and this is a big victory.
Yeah, it really was. And let's go through some of the players that were real key here tonight. Two games now for Filipino, and we'll work through. We're getting so much love for DPD as well on the text inbox.
And third star tonight, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic performance from him as well. But Filipino has been the Canucks' most dangerous player since being acquired, and here was another good performance from him tonight.
And he was consistent. When there was a lot, that was maybe going back the other way for Colorado and those chances, in the first period, Filipino was making plays. He was the one guy that was maybe attacking the blue line, and whether it was this move on Malinsky, go through the list. There's a number of plays where he's, aggressive from the wall, coming out of the corner and going straight to the net. There's no hesitation in his decision-making, and I love that as a part of his game.
Let's go outside the Canucks locker room, and a player getting a lot of praise for his performance, Elias Pettersson, Canucks defender, and he joins us now after a 3-0 Canucks win outside the Canucks locker room. And Elias, thanks for making some time for us. That was a real intense hockey game. You were involved physically. How good did it feel to get this victory here tonight?
Yeah, it felt good. I think it was a big win for us as a group, and nice to get those 2 points.
Yeah, game number four for you is now done. How are you feeling? How are you feeling just as this journey goes on? Do you feel like you're just maybe upping your intensity every single game here?
Yeah, I think it's been better and better. I think I've been growing a lot every game, and today it felt pretty good, so yeah.
You brought a lot of emotion into this game, especially in that moment in the neutral zone. What did you see in that moment that made you want to step up into that moment? And, Connor Garland gets knocked over and you kind of go at a player there.
Yeah, it was just the instincts. I didn't think so much. I was just there and it happened, so yeah.
Well, and, your ability, the coach was talking about this as well, to be really strong along the boards, break up cycles, and when you hit, you really stop guys in their tracks. Like, what makes you so effective along the wall and stopping guys the way you do?
I don't know. I just trying to be aggressive. Playing hard is one part of my game, and, just trying to stop plays as quick as I can and trying to use my body, so.
Yeah, you stapled a couple of guys tonight in the boards, and I know the crowd really appreciated that. But I've also seen, you in the offensive zone. When the puck squirts loose, you are quite aggressive on that front, too. If you get a shot, you take it. Is that something that's always been a part of your game, or is the coach wanting some of these defensemen like yourself to step up and take those opportunities?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get the puck to the net. We've been talking a lot about it lately, to get the puck to the net. When I have the line, I'm just trying to take it to net, then, yeah.
You had a little bit of time out there against their big dogs there with McKinnon and Makar. You made this great diving play. What's it like being on the ice with those guys?
Yeah, it was – I said it – I think that was my hardest shift in my whole career to play against those guys. So, yeah, it was hard.
Well, and, when you talk about playing at the NHL level, and obviously the pace is so much higher and it's different than what you have, but – you look very comfortable. Like, how do you feel adjusting to this pace and the physicality of the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I think I'm adjusting pretty good. I think I've been growing, as I said before, every game. And I think just, as you said, everything goes so much faster and you have to be focused every shift. And, yeah.
Before we let you go, I know the nicknames have been hard because we have so many Pettersons on the team all of a sudden. Marcus Pettersson, Elias Pettersson, now you, Elias Pettersson. So I heard Adam Foote was trying to call you Junior. Yeah. Do you like that? Like, what do you want to go with?
I don't know. I just take what they said now, so I take Junior.
Just call him an NHL player. That's all he wants to hear.
Hey, Elias, great stuff today, mate, tonight, man. And we look forward to talking to you again and seeing you play again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You got it. That is Canucks defenseman Elias Pettersson. And, I mean, he's
going to Aussie on this there.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I
don't know what's going on. I have no idea. But I don't know how that came out.
That happens.
But nonetheless.
Live radio.
vibing on live radio. But I thought, you see the reaction from the fans, right? Like, the fans are loving the way he's played. Canucks fans love physicality. And, you know, I know sometimes Swedish hockey players get a bad rap for not being physical. But, I mean, this kid brings it. And he's not afraid of getting his nose dirty, not intimidated. Miles Wood's a tough player, man, and he's not afraid of him at all. The guy plays fearless hockey, and I think that's something that fans appreciate and are drawn to, and rightfully so.
Well, there are three plays in this game that stand out, right? The one you talked about there where Garland's taken down and, you know, he goes after Logan O'Connor, if I'm not mistaken.
It's kind of a slew foot from O'Connor.
Exactly.
Trailing in behind Garland. And Pettersson, like, recognizes it, steps up, and you see, like, he's giving some shoves there.
There was a greasy element to his game. Later on in that period, he staples Logan O'Connor along the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And then throughout the game, and we saw this against Detroit too, guys, his ability to step up into the neutral zone and just squash plays. That's the type of toughness. It's multifaceted. It's not that, hey, it's a guy that's, you know, dropping the gloves, or he's just, you know, hitting one way or one part of the ice. He's got dimensions to his physicality where you're saying, okay, squashing plays, he's going to stand you up, game over, his defensive partner gets the puck, and it's going back the other way. So I like that there's multiple dimensions to his physicality rather than just he throws big hits. No, this is a smart hockey player too.
It'll be interesting to watch because – you know, we always talk about the adrenaline in the first handful of games when new players come in and what that looks like once it wears off and how the players manage it. You know, you were saying to me, too, even about someone like Filip Hedl, this might be a hot streak and it slows down, but, like, a lot of it, like, looks in control. And I would say the same thing about Elias Pettersson on the back end. Like, it's all stuff that you can replicate over time. Like, the completely smashing of Logan O'Connor multiple times in this game. Like, that sort of stuff.
And that's a greasy line, too.
Yeah,
that fourth line is a greasy line, but
that's supposed to be his identity of his game. It's not like, oh, I'll just dangle this guy. It's like, oh, here's something I didn't think he had. It's like you expected a certain level of physicality along the boards, and those opportunities are going to present himself. And, again, he's listed at 185. It doesn't look 185, man.
He plays bigger, man.
He just looks thicker than 185, and he's certainly playing to a larger size,
well,
too.
Well, we saw him at camp, too, and you could tell he was kind of thick there. But here, like, he's playing that. You're not going full out in training camp in terms of, you know, drilling your teammates through the board. The opposition, he definitely is. The other play that I think stood out for him as well, Cale Makar's got an open net there.
Yeah.
And he goes diving to make that defensive play, helping out your goaltender. Great, like, guys, there's a reason he's the third star tonight. This guy was seen all over the ice in a good way.
Yeah, he was, right? And I don't think that, you know, we can say enough about the poise he's shown already.
Sure.
Now, you know, we can talk about this a bit more. I think what people also have to recognize is he played a very sheltered role tonight.
Totally.
So he had four offensive zone starts. 5-on-5. He had one neutral zone start, and the rest were changes on the fly. So he had zero defensive zone starts, right? So it was very strategic, put him in good positions, let him have success, and he did.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I'm not criticizing anything he's done, but also recognize they're easing him in here, right? And we'll see how he, you know, handles bigger challenges. And if he continues to play this way, he'll get some defensive zone starts. He'll get some tougher moments. And we'll see how he handles those. But a very promising performance so far tonight from Elias Pettersson, of course.
Yeah, and remember, this is without their captain right now in the lineup. So, of course, he's, you know, playing in the lineup right now. He's going to get some games. We'll see when Quinn is back. But that's a good problem to have, to say, hey, we need you as a third pair guy. We don't need you to play anymore. Gather that experience. Play some shifts against arguably the best player in the NHL, or one of them. If you ask Nikita Zadorov, he's the best player. I don't know if others agree with, obviously, top two player at the very least. But to get that experience is something, right? And it's a good problem to have, guys, because, you know, at the beginning of the year, if we had said Elias Pettersson's going to get NHL games this year and he's going to impress, I think a lot of folks in the industry and a lot of folks, fans of this team, would be like, okay, that sounds like a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And so far he's impressing. Of course he's not playing 20 minutes, but he doesn't need to. So you can ease him into this.
Yeah, Soucy tonight played 13:36. I thought, 13:45, and actually a reasonable game from him. Hronek with 24:24. Elias Pettersson 13:57. But man, that's like a very noticeable 14 minutes. And
yeah, in a great way. Yeah.
And I know there's going to be a lot of people. It's like, well, what do you do when Hughes comes back? It's like, yeah, that's suddenly a good problem to have, because I'm not taking that kid out of the lineup after what he did tonight.
Yeah.
And like, not even just because he's third star, but like, he did a lot of very, very positive things. It's going to be a tough decision for Rick Tocchet.
Well, one of the reasons I think, you know, the Miles Wood loses his mind there in the spear that wasn't a spear, according to the officials, is on that same shift is when Pettersson drills Logan O'Connor.
Yeah.
And then he finishes his check on Ross Colton as well behind the net. And this is an agitated fourth line that feels like they got to get a bit of a response back, and they go a little bit overboard, obviously, with Miles Wood play. Yeah. So I think Elias Pettersson had a direct role in that, to basically push these guys to the brink of melting down.
He also, like, earns the power play as well,
yeah, yep,
that gets the Besser goal, right? So all of that, to me, is, like, he should have gotten an assist for that. Like, that's why it's like he should be third star. Stand up for your teammates, yeah, draw them with an extra penalty, Besser scores on that, and the game just far more comfortable at that stage.
100%. Somebody texted in, too, is give Filip Hronek some love as well tonight. Yeah. And I do completely agree with that. I thought Filip Hronek tonight, considering the minutes he had to play, and I want to talk about Marcus Pettersson, but I thought Hronek tonight, I mean, he creates the game-winning goal, the first goal of the game.
Both and goals.
Both
goals.
Right? Yeah,
the
for
first,
sure.
Stretch pass.
Yeah,
there.
The stretch pass as well on the power play. You're right. That led to the Brock Besser goal. But on the first one, it's not only just creating, and I thought he showed patience and made the right decision shooting it, creates a rebound, DeBrus scores, but makes a great play.
He wins the puck, yeah.
By his blue line that creates all that. So I thought Filip Hronek tonight, it wasn't Quinn Hughes-esque, but you talk about stepping up when Quinn is out and creating moments and having offensive capabilities, and that's what we saw from Hronek tonight.
Well, one of the things that I think even, you know, Patrick Alvin mentioned at the beginning of training camp and at the end of last year was, hey, we want to see how he works away from Quinn Hughes. Can he be a little bit more assertive, more puck dominant? Can he make the decisions? And tonight we saw that, right? He wins the puck back. He makes that play, to your point, Sat, where he you could, you know, and we've seen this team play this certain way where you get to the red line, you chip it in, say, hey, F1, go in there. He didn't do that. He saw the space in front of him. He makes the decision, and, you know, Jake DeBrus does the rest. That stretch pass, very much the same thing. Quick decision, and, you know, I think that's one of the things you can look at as a positive situation is, sure, Quinn Hughes isn't playing. That's not great. You want your captain to be healthy, though, but is this an opportunity for Filip Hronek to maybe flex a little bit, to say, all right, I can create too. I can pick up a couple of assists and show that I can be a decision, you know, some good decisions. And I thought he did really well today too. And on the PK, chippy, like behind the play, I don't know if you guys saw, but just little cross checks here, just being an absolute jerk on the PK, which is, he's got that in his game. I love seeing that kind of the offensive side, but also the ability to be a real thorn in the side of the opposition.
Yeah, who looked the most threatening on that 5-on-3? It was probably Filip Hronek, just because
he had two shots.
He was teeing himself up, but yeah, I know there's complaints coming with the 5-on-3, but like of all the one that felt like they were going to take command of that, it felt like Filip Hronek, who could launch a couple of big slap shots from the back end. But yeah, he was remarkable tonight.
He was.
Like the two assists, obviously, and we chatted about the patience he has on the DeBrus goal. Again, it's fortunate the way it bounces and DeBrus is able to take it, but his patience kind of creates the best of that moment.
Yeah.
And it all starts with the defensive stand-up in that at the blue line to create the opportunity. So, yeah, big, big props to Filip Hronek tonight.
Also led the Canucks in block shots as well, which is, you know, that if you're eating pressure a little bit in the zone, you got to eat pucks, and he did both. He got 2 points, three block shots as well.
Well, and, you know, there's a theme here tonight. It's the defense. There's no Quinn Hughes. Filip Hronek was good. We just spoke about DPD. Marcus Pettersson. Now, nothing stood out by the numbers, right? Like he was outshot. He controlled 46% of the shots. So it was outshot 54-46, right? There are 4 high dangers, according to Natural Stat Trick, against, but 5-4. So, you know, he had a slight edge in that. He led all Canucks 5-on-5 with 18 minutes of ice time. And out of those 18 minutes, he went up against Nathan MacKinnon for 13-25. And against Nathan MacKinnon, there were 2 high dangers, 4 against. But guess what Nathan MacKinnon didn't do tonight?
Get a point.
Yeah.
Or score.
Yeah.
Right? So Marcus Pettersson comes in. He comes in to play this big shutdown role. Now, they also had some good fortune, to be fair, in the first period. Some really good chances they didn't capitalize on. The Avalanche, they had 2-on-1s, missed the net, hit a post. You know, whatever. But after that, they didn't get – like, MacKinnon looks terrifying. Honestly, every time he has the puck, I'm like, this guy's going to score. Like, that's what it feels like.
It was really just one shift in the final 40, wasn't it?
That's it.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah, the opening period, I think they were both him and Martin Nechas were hitting 35 kilometers per hour, 37 consistently.
Yeah.
After that, after the first,
they were flying everywhere. We talked about it in the first intermission. They generated a full expected goal, that whole five grouping of Lehkonen, MacKinnon, Nechas, Toews, and Makar. They were everywhere, and it slowed the rest of the way. Now, they had a couple of moments, but nothing like what the first period looked like.
And going back to Marcus Pettersson for a second, though, there was one moment late in this game where it looked like Nathan MacKinnon had an opening, and whose stick popped out right in front to block it, and it went out of the playing surface off the ice. It was Marcus Patterson.
Yeah.
Right? So he is 6 foot five, but you don't really notice that because, you know, he's kind of tall and lanky. He doesn't strike you as a bruiser in that sense, but he plays such a smart game. He's got such a good stick. And what I love about his game, guys, is that his ability to carry the puck as far as you need him to do it, and he's helping out his forwards. He's attacking, like, you know, for the same reason we just praised Filip Hronek. Sure, Marcus Patterson didn't create a scoring chance, but when you're able to support your forwards that way, it just gives them another option so they can get the puck deep. And there's one play, I believe it was in the first period or the third period, I forget, but he basically carries the puck all the way, and his winger is hitting the zone with speed. So you're able to chip it in.
Yeah.
It's not a chip and chase by yourself where you have to send it in and you reset and you have to go. He's so comfortable carrying the puck to the opposing blue line himself. And, you know, the winger's just got to go and crash and bang and get possession, right?
Yeah.
It just makes the job easier, so much easier for the winger. So I think defensively for sure, but just the little things he does in the offensive zone helps out this team big time too.
Just a little bit of injection of mobility in that back end, right? It's not like people needed to see prime Bobby Orr, prime Scott Niedermeyer. Just a little bit of
top 4D.
Just a real top four. But even like there's moments, you know, for Carson Soucy tonight, like one of his first shifts of the game, he activates in the neutral zone, pokes a puck away, Bluger chips it in, and it's Carson Soucy going after it.
Yeah.
He was the first one on the puck,
and
he knocks it to Hoglander, who gets it to Bluger, that great save by Blackwood, right pad save, but Bluger working across. It all starts with Carson Soucy with a little bit of mobility, just gets there, and you can just see like just that fraction of O'Connor coming in, Hedl coming in, and now Marcus Patterson coming in. You can see just the noticeable uptick of mobility across the entire team.
And what I like just quickly here is that they're making those quick decisions, but like the forwards and especially the wingers are releasing a little bit quicker. It feels like the light bulb has kind of gone off when you have a couple of these guys thinking that way. And the hope is that it trickles through. You know, we were talking about Filip Hedl before Elias Patterson joined us. You're hoping that other guys say, hey, wait a second, this guy's direct.
Like he's
carrying the puck. He's going around players, and you hope that trickles through the rest of the team as well, because they brought another type of energy to this roster, which they needed.
Yeah, and I mean, before we let you go, we probably saved the best for last. Thatcher Demko tonight. 25 save shutout, including a marvelous sequence in the second period where he robs Cale Makar, coming across, making a save. And then later in the sequence, which lasts a full minute in the Canuck zone, they're under a complete siege, another cross-ice pass, and he absolutely robs Lehkonen again. I mean, those are two 10 out of 10 saves, and they happen on the same sequence. It's incredible what Thatcher Demko provided tonight. And, you know, people have been texting in, he's back, Demko's back. It's one game that he played like this, but this was a vintage Demko performance, and you just hope that this is what we're going to see more of the rest of the season.
It was probably his best performance since the other Colorado game, right?
Yeah.
This is his first shutout of the year, but that first Colorado game, his second game back, and you think, all right, that looked like Thatcher Demko, and it's waned since then to the point where, you know, his save percentage dips to .873, but he gets a shutout tonight. Again, his first one of the year. Yeah, no, that second period and that shift in particular was awesome. And he makes the glove save on Makar, dives back there on Lehkonen. But there was other, like, just so many moments where, like, things just hit him in the crest. And that's when you really notice Demko at his best. You think, oh, here's a high danger, and oh, he's already there.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of those moments here tonight.
There was one late in the game as well. It was an awkward angle. It felt like the puck maybe kind of got lodged between his arm and the blocker, but there was a Colorado player right there, right on top of him. If the puck squirts loose, you know, that's danger, but he absorbed that puck in the third period especially. But he, on those both of those saves, guys, looked explosive, like the vintage, you know, Thatcher Demko we know and seen. And you don't want to give up those opportunities, you know, the seam pass or whatever it may be. Consistently, but to see those in those moments, he makes that save. You're right, you know, to hear his chants in this building where the fans are basically happy to see him back playing at that level, you, on a personal level, you feel great as well. And I think whenever Kevin Lehkonen gets the next start, whether that's against San Jose or Toronto, we'll see. I think it's for the same things we've said about Lehkonen, it's hard to turn away from a goaltender that gets a shutout.
Yeah.
You'd expect to see Thatcher in the next one, but it's good to have that internal competition where you feel like on any given night, either one of these guys can get you the victory. But we all know if Thatcher Demko's playing his game, he's one of the best in the league, and hopefully this was a step in that direction.
Nothing can carry a team farther than elite goaltending.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that does happen for the Canucks the rest of the season. Randy, great stuff tonight calling the game alongside Brendan Batchelor as always. We look forward to chatting with you on Thursday when the Canucks take on the Sharks in San Jose, a 7:30 puck drop.
Good day, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to say man, and like, it came out that way. It's all good.
I'm pulling your leg,
it's all good, man. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. People have been sending in some good gifts of Australians. Yeah. So it's been pretty good.
A lot of Crocodile Dundee. Yeah. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Yeah. Gifts coming in here.
Yeah. I love it. Good stuff. Keep them coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. We'll take some phone calls coming up in a second. 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. But before we do, Bick, let's get a couple text messages on.
650-650. This one coming in from Capitalist. Fellas, I know the eyes are on the other PDs right now, but for good reason. I really like what I've seen from Pedersen so far. Calling it now, the real PD shows up once he returns from Four Nations. Buckle up, boys. This one, Gaffer from Coquitlam. We've strung together a few good games here. I want to see more from EP40, but can't really complain about too much more. Happy for Demko. What a monster second period. Jason says, DPD looking like an absolute stud out there. Moving on from the chaos and distractions from the first half of the season. Absolutely refreshing. This team looks complete, playing for each other. Beautiful to see the boys backing up Junior. All this without our superstar. I have hope again. That is Jason from Langley.
It's incredible what some winning and some enthusiastic hockey will do to a fan base. And the emotion they played with, we talked about that from Pedersen, but there's more pace to their game, right? There's more directness to how they're playing, and there's more enthusiasm, for a lack of a better word.
That's a great word for it. Just lay it on the line, right? Yeah. Like, people are playing big money to come here. They want to see the effort. They want to see the level of emotional and physical engagement, and it's there tonight. And so you're pumped up if you're a fan here in the building, or if you're watching at home or listening online. Like, you got your investment worth, whether you paid or you spent your time for it. So, yeah, like, of course winning is the most important thing, but you also want to feel like the players care as much as you do.
Yeah.
And a night like tonight, they absolutely did.
They did. I thought so too, right? And I think that's what you want to see here. From the Vancouver Canucks, and I hope this keeps going. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll get to more of them as the show goes on. Let's take a phone call here before we hit the break. Let's go to Calgary, where we have Joshua on the line. Joshua, thanks for calling in, man. What are your thoughts here after a 3-0 Canucks win?
Hey, boys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, so first of all, really quick, I just want to point out, I know Carson Soucy hasn't had the best season so far, but I really liked how he was standing up for EP25. He was blocking some shots, so... Mm. It's good to see that from him. If the skill isn't coming along, at least we got something. And then second of all, this is just the main point. I felt like the Canucks have had more shots recently. And so I looked at the game logs. We've averaged 25 shots a game this season, but the last time that we had less, like 24 or less, was 10 games ago against the Kings. So do you guys think this is sustainable? Have you noticed anything different on the ice? And how do you think that the new guys will kind of affect that?
Great call and a great question. Thanks, Joshua, for calling in. And I think he's correct, right? Like, they are more direct. We're seeing them not only get shots from the point, which they've done a lot, you're seeing a lot more shots from inside, and they're throwing in from even off the rush. Like, Hedl and O'Connor have both had more shots off the rush, so we're seeing that happen. Hedl's been so good at transporting the puck and having those controlled entries into the zone, and he usually turns offensive pressure into some sort of a shot from somewhere. And I think the fact that he pretty much shoots from every angle, and it's not just stupid shots towards the net, but he'll just attack space wherever he gets it. I think having guys like that, not only does that create one shot for, but it also creates rebounds. You do that more and more, it leads to more shots on goal.
It's a good point there by Joshua. So if you go back to mid-December, I'm just going by shot attempts here. There was a lot of nights there where like they had one where it was 30 shot attempts, 31. And then there's some in the mid-40s through late November into most of December. Here just recently, it's mid-50s, but they're starting to crest 60 as far as total shot attempts, including power play as well. So, yeah, it's been trending a lot better. There's a game there against the Preds where they only got 40. But nevertheless, it has been trending much more. And, again, as far as the new guys, as many people have astutely noted here in our inbox, I'll try to bring up the first one that had it here. But the new guys were out there late. This one from Alex and Spreadsheet Wizard. Three brand new players out there with a minute left. That really shows management nailed what Tock wanted for his roster. And obviously it's O'Connor that ends up getting the goal. Hedl gets the assist, but also Marcus Pedersen out there with Myers and Bluger. And, yeah, big vote of confidence, a proper vote of confidence for the new guys out there late.
Yeah, and they deserved it. And, you know, we'll talk more about Filip Hedl, who's been spectacular. And the one thing I'll say, and we'll delve into this a bit more on the other side, I want him to keep his head up a bit more.
Hedl?
Yeah. There were a couple times, you know, he got blown up once. And
he got, yeah, just dropped in the corner.
Yeah, just please, keep your head up a bit more. That's the only criticism I have, honestly. Like, everything else, he's been spectacular. And if he can play the way he's played, I know it's, you mentioned adrenaline, and it's the first couple games, and he's enthusiastic, but he's getting a shot to be a top-line center. And the way Pedersen's gone, EP40, like he has a chance to play up the lineup above him right now. Like, his first game with the Canucks, Hedl played more than Pedersen. His second game with the Canucks, Hedl played more than Pedersen. Two games in, Filip Hedl has been the Canucks' first-line center.
He ends up playing 20:45 tonight. Elias Pedersen, 17:43 tonight.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the biggest, best opportunity he's had. And right now, through two games, he is seizing it. Can he continue this? Can this be the player the Canucks are getting? If they are, I mean, buckle up, like the capitalist said, right? But hopefully he can. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We'll get the thoughts of the Canucks head coach as well. That's next on the Canucks Central Post Game Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment, Satyar Shah and Bick Nazar, after a 3-0 Canucks win against the Avs on Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the Morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and don't miss an episode. This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Girard in his own zone for the Avalanche. Right wing to center for Logan O'Connor. Hit into the boards hard by Elias Pedersen. He took him down. And Susie's back to the puck.
I don't know. I'm just trying to be aggressive. Playing hard is one part of my game, and yeah, he's trying to stop plays as quick as I can and trying to use my body.
Hey, Elias, great stuff today, mate.
Thank you so much.
That's incredible. Incredible.
That's so much better than I thought it was.
It's so bad. Oh, my God. Canucks win 3-0 over the Colorado Avalanche. As I go down under. And welcome back to the Canucks Central Post Game Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Great stuff, Fast Eddie Gregory, coming back from break. And, you know, it was a big win for the Canucks here tonight, right? Like, we were talking about this as far as the standings go and the playoff pursuit after making the two big deals. And when you're making the deals the Canucks are making, you are very much trying to get into the postseason, right? And we'll see what else they do to put themselves into the discussion to being a contender potentially, right? And taking another step. But as far as just being in the race, big opportunity tonight. The Calgary Flames lost against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Colorado Avalanche are above you in a wild card spot. And if you wanted to even be within reach for Colorado, you had to have this game here tonight. As far as the standings go, I know you were kind of calling this a must win here tonight, Bick.
Yeah, I had to have it. If you just want to make it interesting between, like, multiple teams here, you don't want to put yourself in a position where it's only you or Calgary.
You want more than one pathway.
You want as many opportunities as you can. Out of Pacific Division 3, both wild card spots. So, you know, this was a proverbial four-point game here.
Yeah.
And now you look at the scenario here as games have wrapped up this evening. So Minnesota also lost, and Colorado's trailing Minnesota by just 2 points. So Minnesota could slip into a wild card spot. But the Canucks now 7 points away from Minnesota with the game in hand. 5 away from Colorado with 2 games in hand. They are 1 point back of the LA Kings. The Kings have 3 games in hand.
Yeah.
But now they're even with Calgary. And you're sitting here, both teams even on points and in games. You know, they're on pace now for 92 points. We were chatting earlier about the playoff bar, if you get 38 of the remaining 60 points heading into tonight, that's gets you at 95, that might be enough to punch your ticket, but you still obviously want more. But yeah, you just every time you just get a win, it eases your path moving forward. And why not do it against the teams that you're battling with right now? And so they get a regulation win against a team that they were having a four-point game against.
Yeah, it was a big one here tonight. Canucks had to have it. They got it. 3-0 win over the Colorado Avalanche. Before we take a phone call here, Bick, and we are going to get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach as soon as we get them, what are the people saying to the Dunbar Lumber text inbox here tonight?
Yeah, just from Tyler, just realized Canucks take another big slide. Unless the Canucks take another big slide, wild card is between the Avs, Kings, Flames, and Canucks. We'll throw the Wild in there as well. Ed in Kelowna, and they did this all without Quinn Hughes, just saying, and some love about that one, too, this unsigned one. Thing is, Hedl's doing this without Quinn Hughes. That's insane to me. Can't wait to watch Hughes and Hedl together. And Phil in Moncton, have the vibes changed? Teammates sticking up for one another? Dem KOing the opposition? Let's go. It feels good to watch this team again. It's Phil in Moncton.
Yeah, people are fired up, man. I get it. You know, the Canucks just look far more enthusiastic. And when you pick up points in 5 out of 6 games, you put yourself on the right track at the very least again, and you're back in it, being tied with the Calgary Flames right now for the final playoff spot, the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. This one here from Ames and North Van, feeling hopeful after tonight with some speed and the new PDs. Hopefully PD can show up. I'm so happy for Demko. And I think, you know, Bernie from Kelowna also says, great game by the boys. The new guys were awesome and Demmer was solid, but I also think they need to move PD and Besser out and get some good quality players back, Bernie from Kelowna. And I think we're getting a lot of that as far as EP40 and how he played tonight. And it was another, you know, less than, you know, it wasn't as good as you wanted it to be, right? Like, we were all waiting for Elias Pettersson to really find that level, right? Especially after the JT Miller trade, and we just haven't seen it yet. I mean, you see some moments here and there where he does skate really fast and does something, but it's not sustained. And you look at the way Filip Hedl's played, like, there's a big difference between how Filip Hedl through 2 games has impacted the game versus how Elias Pettersson has impacted the game.
Yeah, significant, and it bears out in the minutes. Like, that's why one guy's getting 20 and one guy's getting 17, and it's not the guy that's been the one that would have seniority here in this spot. And so if you're Elias Pettersson, okay, an excuse was removed from the room. Like, you could even just say, like, well, Miller's been here all the time, and he gets those minutes, and all right. But now it's someone that's completely new.
Yeah.
In comes Hedl, and he's getting the minutes now. So you better sharpen up here real fast, as we've been discussing. But now it's like someone else is coming in and taking your meal, basically.
Yeah.
So you've got no excuses outside of just shape up and play to the best of your abilities, and certainly play with, like, your top gear as well.
Yeah. And we're all waiting to see that. We want to see that. The question is he capable of doing that this year? You know, because we talk about the pace thing.
Okay. I want to be clear about this. Like, yes, he's not skating as fast as he has in previous seasons. But the thing about that is, like, his game's not really predicated on speed. And obviously, like, it plays a role, don't get me wrong. But, like, we've never sat here and said, like, oh, you know what Elias Pettersson needs? Like, play the game at such a high tempo.
Yeah.
We've never really said that. He can play the game a bit east to west, but he does it in such an influential manner. But, like, you don't see him on the puck enough. Like,
no.
And that's the thing. And with Hedl right now, and you've mentioned this of, like, he looks like someone that's refreshed, that he's not behind 2 guys definitively in the lineup, and he's competing now for number 1 spot here in the lineup. But, like, we talked last game, like, Hedl dominating the puck possession. He was up over 2 minutes. Hedl tonight, the highest Canuck, 1:46. Like, that's someone who's going out looking for the puck, coveting it. That's rivaling Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
He had 1:47 on the ice tonight, or with the puck tonight, and every time he touched it, it looked dynamic for MacKinnon. Now, he had a lesser scale, but nevertheless, like, going out and finding the puck, how to influence the game, and that's when Pedersen's always been at his best. It's not necessarily high tempo, high speed, and obviously it does factor, but here's someone else who's finding a way to get the puck. You got to do that.
There's no question about it, right? Kevin in Kelowna says, let's be honest, Sat, there were no EP40 moments other than falling down, Kevin in Kelowna. And that's fair. I'm not even saying he was good. And a fair assessment, he didn't have a good enough game here tonight. It's, you know, we're all waiting, you know, and this person says, I'm giving PD until the Four Nations. If he's still playing bad, then trade. Okay, so we'll see what happens. And I know the team is going to give him a little bit of runway here. We'll see that if the deadline is a spot or maybe the off season perhaps. But regardless, everyone's still waiting to see the best out of Elias Pettersson. And if this team is going to have a chance to be anything than more than a playoff team, then that's what they have to do, right? Like coming into this season, the goal wasn't just to be a playoff team. It was to contend. And obviously, that hasn't happened, and they made a massive trade moving out a big impact player in JT Miller. Now, if Filippito comes in, let's say he continues to play like this. Canucks are going nowhere if Pettersson doesn't find his game still, right? Like, if you're looking at doing something in the playoffs, and you still have to add to the roster, but it ultimately comes down to him.
James, EP40 needs WD40. He's rusty. That's pretty good.
A jokes for 60.
That's pretty good with the jokes for 60.
I like it. All right, let's go to the phone boards. Let's go to Nanaimo, where we have Aiden on the line. Aiden, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, yeah, that was, I think, the best game I've watched. I haven't watched all the games, but I think that was the best game I watched. The 4-minute power play there was, that was tough to watch. But overall, very good game. Demko first shutout. I love to see Demko get a shutout after his injury and stuff. Come back, having some rough starts, finally getting a shutout. I bet you he went back to the dressing room and felt really good after that one. And good team win. And I just like to keep it rolling. Like, you know, I take one game as it comes, and it's a long season. But overall, good win, and it was a good team effort by them tonight.
Thanks for the phone call, Aiden. And echoing a lot of sentiments a lot of fans had, I mean, he thinks it was the best game. I'm not sure it was the best game. Like, I liked a lot about what I saw tonight, but it's still going to be a work in progress, right? Because you're still incorporating new players and players getting situated, and you're still trying to find the right lines and the right mix. We saw the lines go into a blender tonight. We talked about the first period. Thatcher Demko, the Avs not finishing was the reason why. It was 0-0. You could have lost the game in the first period if the Avs capitalized. But from that point on, I thought they did a fantastic job. And I think that's what they get a lot of credit for. But you don't apologize for getting opportunities and getting some saves. And the Canucks made the most of it. And when you look at it by the end of the night, they outchanced and outchanced and outpossessed the Colorado Avalanche. And I think when you do that on a night, you deserve to win. And they came through.
Yeah, the Avs had their chance in the first two.
That was their chance in the game, and they didn't convert.
And when you don't, you open the opportunity for the other team to raise their level. And so the Canucks do, right? And so even if you start the second period, still 0-0, the Avs have their chance to try to win the game after that point moving forward. But, yeah, the Canucks rallied, and they were full value the final 40 minutes. And so if you just want to say, hey, the Avs are so good in the first period, sure. But the Canucks earned their way back into it, and so they have a credible claim to the full value of 2 points tonight.
You know, they do, and it was good to see, right? And can you gain momentum from this point on? And I think that's what we really want to see from this team. The other thing we're getting texts about is unsung heroes. We're getting a bunch of people texting and be like, you guys haven't talked about Hoglander tonight, haven't talked about Pugh Suter tonight. And I think it was a game where you can pretty much go through it down the list, and outside of, you know, we talked about Pettersson. Besser scored a goal tonight. I thought he generally struggled. Like, I didn't think it was Besser's best game, especially on the power play on the 5-on-3.
There's a lot of comments coming in about that. Cam from Vancouver and Mac in Nova Scotia essentially saying the same thing. It's like, yeah, the goal was nice, but there were some puck-handling moments that were really tough.
But I'm okay with it because he scored a goal. Like, if this is your bad night, you end up with a goal, like, fine. Like, that's okay. I'm fine with that at the end of the day. You brought a real bottom line to the game. But I thought he struggled. But outside, I say, Pettersson and him, I thought everybody else played well. I know there's somebody texting in, too, about Dakota Joshua saying, hey, I really like what the Canucks did tonight. I'm happy. I'm fired up about the victory here. But Jake from Trail, but Dakota Joshua, he says, has really struggled and hasn't done anything. We need better from him. And if not, we're in a tough spot.
There's a couple of Jerry Nabby and a couple others also mentioning that as well.
And I think that's fair. But outside of those three players, I thought everybody else was fantastic tonight.
Yeah.
Like, they all played to their roles, and they all executed. And, you know, we talked about Pettersson already, both, like, all three Pettersons, but Marcus Pettersson. He probably had the highest degree of difficulty tonight. He was matched up against Nathan MacKinnon and played against them for 13 and a half minutes, 5-on-5 out of the 18 minutes he was out there. And MacKinnon didn't score. So you give him a lot of credit. But I thought Hoglander especially, I really like Hoglander's game tonight, Bick.
Yeah, let's spend some time on him. Rather than some of the other guys there. But, yeah, like the first play, sets up Bluger, right? And he's quick on the play. We're after to support Carson Soucy. And then, you know, he's the one, too, where we talked about that DPD chance on a play that gets set up through the middle of the ice and trying to get a low-high pass that deflects out to the top. And there's Elias Pettersson for a one-timer. But it's some nice combination passing by Hoglander and Bluger out there controlling play, you know, forcing defenders to turn in their direction and opening this opportunity up for a play into the slot. But also, like, he's the one that hustles up the ice on a good opportunity and draws a penalty from Miles Wood, and then he's there to go after Miles Wood after he sticks Linus Karlsson. So, like, all those elements you want to see from Nils Höglander, I imagine that one should get a good shout-out from Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, it should. I thought I really liked what I saw from Nils Höglander tonight, too, and just being really aggressive on the forecheck, setting up chances. You mentioned the one he set up for Bluger. That was real good opportunity. Best one the Canucks had in the first period.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, if you're only going to play 10, 11 minutes, they better be super energetic.
Yeah, and they were tonight.
And Nils Höglander, it's 9 minutes, 25 seconds, but, yeah, certainly noticeable throughout the course of the evening.
You mentioned, what did the Canucks head coach, well, how does he feel about Hoaglander's game and the Canucks game in general? Well, let's go to the podium here. Rick Tocchet is there, brought to you by Tiletown.
Rick, what did you like most about the overall performance from your group tonight?
I think everybody stuck to the game plan. Like, we did we had a really good video session today on a game plan against Colorado, and I just thought we stuck to our game. Like, at like 21 guys, I thought everybody stuck through it.
Elias Pettersson, the young defenseman, what are you seeing from him? What are you liking from him right now?
Yeah, lots to like. You know, he's a bull out there. Strong, good first pass, can shoot the puck. I mean, there's just a lot to work with. You know, he's a prototypical D that you want on your team. And then, like, we were talking the other day with Gaunch, we were in Dallas that game before the game, we were talking how there's lots to work with this guy. So, you know, he's a guy that we're glad we have. He's, like I said.
With the other Pettersson, Marcus Pettersson, what is it that Adam Foote maybe likes most about him and what he can bring to a lineup?
Yeah, I think the underrated part, even talking to Sitter, but just even watch him in Pittsburgh, he's a leader type. Like, he's chirping on the bench. He's talking. Like, usually guys that get traded, they're quiet. He's not quiet. Even the last time out, we were talking, and he was talking about going the weeks. Like, he's not afraid to. You can tell he's got some leadership qualities in him, and it really adds to our room as much as on the ice.
And Bluger playing with those two Swedes. Is there something you've liked from them in the past two games? Are they finding something as a fourth line?
I think they're really working hard. I thought they worked hard tonight, that line. I think Karlsson and Hoggy really, and MP and Blues really worked hard tonight. So that's the identity we got to get from them, like an energy line.
On DPD, I suppose, just to come back to it, been sort of fascinating to watch you guys use him. You know, he plays like 10 minutes the first two games, got up to third pair minutes, and then tonight, you know, for much of the game until sort of late, he was even top four or five on five, but no defensive zone starts. When you sort of talk with Adam about how to sort of go through these phases, what's the design, what's the thought being put into it, and why?
Yeah, I think young defensemen, you want to cocoon them a little bit, right? You want to make sure you get them in some good situations. I've always felt, you know, the D are the last line of defense, and when you make a mistake, you know, what is the spotlight's on them. So we really wanted to kind of guard him a little bit, but now that he's taken small little bites, we got to give him more. So we got to look into, like you said, maybe some D-zone faceoffs in our end, things like that. But I think, to me, young defensemen, especially early, you got to just give them small little bites. And I think that's really, whether it's my philosophy or footies, we're on the same page.
Across the last two games, and especially the latter 40 minutes tonight, the second and the third period, looked like your club was able to not just dictate play five on five, but actually generate maybe more chances than you have. There some sort of dynamism offensively that you haven't always had over the course of the season. What do you attribute both the shift tonight after the first period, but also just generally from your group in Hughes' absence the last two games?
Well, I don't want to overstate it, but I think Hedl and Drew O'Connor, the speed and their willingness to take the puck in the middle on a rush. Like, a little breath of fresh air when, you know, you see Hedl take that puck, he goes in the middle of the ice, and that's when things happen. So to just add in those two guys has helped our rush game. And you can see, like, Yogi, we're smiling because that's the stuff we need, right? So those two guys for sure. And obviously both Pedersen's back there, good first pass transporting the puck. So that's where you get the flow going. So, I have to give them a lot of credit. I know it's two games, and, there's a big win, and I think, we got to stay even keel. But I do like the rush part of it, that they're willing to take the puck. Even at the end, I know people might not say it, but O'Connor gets it standing still. Most guys just throw it out, might ice the puck, and he skates it and gets the empty net. That's a big play because he can skate.
I just want to follow up on Hedl because he's doing everything you've been preaching for weeks and months about playing on the inside and the one play when he actually drew the penalty because he drove the net so hard. And then another play I really like, but the puck possession, he gets there. He has the patience to see if there's a trailer. He turns and finds the guy. I mean, these are the things you've been preaching. I'm wondering, can it be contagious when you show feeling to the guys about what Hedl's doing and how that can help other guys?
What helps in practice, like, we haven't had a full practice with those guys yet, so I got to give those guys credit. They haven't had a practice with us other than the morning skate. But when you practice and you practice with guys like that, Hedl, it is contagious. A lot of the games with, I call it when the guys are on your back and, you have the puck, he doesn't get rid of it, he holds it. And that's a big thing for offensive guys when you hold it. So hopefully it is contagious when he's around.
I can't believe we've gotten this far without talking about Demko.
Yeah, should have been the first question. Yeah, he was outstanding. They had those, that McKinnon line, especially that first period, they're fast. Trust me, behind the bench, you're watching them speed up. And those cross-ice passes, and he made those two big saves, they're 10 Bell saves, right? And then we settled down, but I thought Demmer gave us a chance to settle us down.
What can a performance like that do for his confidence as he's working his way back? We know that it's been a difficult season for him, and he's trying to get back to his level. What can this game do for him?
Yeah, I think the last three, four games, his game's coming. And the Dallas game, I thought he was fine. What was the game before that? I thought he was outstanding. I can't remember the games, but his game's coming. I mean, you got to remember the guy's been off so long, and he's used to playing a good run of games, but we're fortunate to have a guy like Lanx. So our goaltending, we're in good shape with goaltending around here.
Rick, with the three new guys, you're playing them in the final minute of the game.
Yeah.
Where does your confidence come to put them out in that situation? How do you decide that these three guys can be someone that you use in the final minute there?
Well, just the last two games, I thought just watching them, I think it's important that there's a confidence level that I give them. I was matching up Suter most of the night with McKinnon, but there was a couple times Hedl was going to come off when McKinnon was on. I said, no, get out there. And I saw him go out there. He wins the draw. I mean, those are the confidence moments you got to give. And if a guy makes a mistake, you got to get him back out there. So I think it was important that you give those guys confidence.
You talked about the speed of O'Connor and Hedl.
Yeah.
But one of the changes you made in the second period was putting those two with Brock Besser, who maybe doesn't have as much foot speed. But did it feel like it was necessary to kind of split up that top line because of that speed difference?
Yeah, I just had a gut feeling after the first. I thought the game before, I thought the other three lines, were good. I didn't want to break up everybody but I just felt switch best with Garland and then put O'Connor up there to get some speed. I just had a feeling on that. And I think putting Dak on the checking line with Suter and Sherwood, I thought Dak was good. And he relishes that role. And I actually think Dak's starting to come. I think his last three games, he's chipping away at his game. And that's a huge force for us if we can get it. Like at the end, there are 2 minutes of the wall. He wins the wall battle. If they keep it in, who knows? So I think that's the stuff that he can really supply for us.
You get the power play in the third period.
Yeah.
Pedersen holds onto a puck with Makar on his back and draws the penalty to get it to 5-on-3. Did you like seeing that from him? And did you see enough from that 5-on-3 power play, considering the situation you were in, had a chance to really put the game away?
Well, I think we had three shots from the middle pretty hard. I think Phil had, we missed net three. Those are middle shots. We missed the net there. I think we rushed it down low. I think there's some poise. There's some poise there. If you just kind of relax a little bit, I think we were a little tight. But yeah, I think we're fine. I mean, yeah, you got to score in those moments. But I thought we had a couple of good looks.
From vision to reality, Tiletown has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium after a 3-0 win over the Avalanche. And we were talking about Dakota Joshua, people texting in about him maybe struggling. The coach, well, really liked his game tonight. And he talked about winning board battles, and you can understand now why he keeps him in games in those situations people were wondering about. He thinks that's something he brings, and he cited one example there late.
Yeah, well, I actually like that he acknowledged that, like, I had to put him in a checking line.
Yeah.
So, my issue so far this season has not been with Dakota Joshua. It's been Rick Tocchet's deployment of Dakota Joshua.
Yes, I agree.
And, like, given the circumstances of what he's coming back from. So, the recognition of, okay, we might have to put him in a checking line and sort it out there. Okay, like, he can do that. He can play a big body, but you can't have someone that's had 4 points on the season up in your top six.
Yeah, I get that. And obviously, and people have been texting in too and said, Dakota's the last guy I'm going to criticize with what he's had to go through and where he's at. And that's all fair. And the head coach certainly liked what he brought. Now, the coach got to a lot of other things. We are going to break that down on the other side. And we'll get to more of your text messages, more of your phone calls as the Canucks Central postgame show rolls on, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. Canucks win 3-0 over the Avs. More coming up next on the Home of Your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here's Nature's back in, left wing side, into the high slot for Makar with a wrist shot stopped by Demko. Rebound and a diving play by Elias Pettersson. Forced the puck wide of the net. Makar left point, drops near side for McKinnon. Passes to the back door, one-timer, what a save by Demko. He robbed Lehkonen across to his left. An unbelievable stop from number 35 for the Canucks. And Vancouver still leads. Avalanche are still pressing. Makar in the high slot gets a shot, and Demko stopped him with a glove. He'll hold on for the whistle.
Yeah, he was outstanding. They had those, that McKinnon line, especially that first period, they're fast. Trust me, behind the bench, you're watching them speed up, and that those cross ice passes, and he made those two big saves. They're 10 bell saves, right? And then we settled down, but I thought Demmer gave us a chance to settle us down.
Thatcher Demko, big between the pipes for the Canucks tonight. A shutout against the Avs. Canucks go on to win 3-0 here at Rogers Arena. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah and Bick Nazar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free 1-888-275-0650. We'll get to the phone calls coming up in a moment, and we'll do more on the other side as well, so hang in with us here. The game running a little bit late on the clock, so to speak, so everything's kind of been pushed around a little bit. But let's break down some of the things the head coach had to say here, Bick. And I like this text that came in from Raymond saying the coach sounds a lot more like last year's head coach. He sounds more relaxed and not totally stressed out. Tocchet from last year is back. That's Raymond. And yeah, he does sound, and Reach made this point too a couple of days ago. He sounds a bit lighter. Not that everything is great and everything's fine, but they've moved on from the big issue they've had, right? And I'm not saying it's just JT, but just that situation. And
they brought the dynamic, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And they've been waiting to do that. And the new players that come in, they've looked good. And DPD's come in and look good. So there's a lot of things to be enthusiastic about. And he did sound that way. And let's start on DPD. I mean, says he's a bull out there, right?
An animal reference.
Like, yeah.
Tocchet's done those.
Yeah.
Right? We've heard like horse and we've heard giraffe or something like that. Like, he breaks out a bull. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he does. And talks about him being a prototypical D in terms of his physicality, his size, his smarts. and he moves the puck well too. And they talked about, you know, what we broke down earlier, that he's being cocooned. They're giving him small bites at a time.
The manner in which he described the development plan there, I thought was really illuminating. And also, we chat about this too, where people get excited and we're like, "Hey, careful!" Just like it's all ozone starts here, and they're putting him in positions. So I like that there was an acknowledgement of that. Like, yeah, hey, we're very focused on creating this environment for him where he's going to succeed. And again, like that's why we were just chatting about Joshua there too. It's the coach's responsibility to put the guys in positions to succeed. So there's the plan for Elias Pettersson, but also a recognition that, like, hey, we might have to give him some more because as far as D-zone faceoffs and all that, because they're really impressed with what he's doing and that they feel like there's lots to work with. So it's something to keep an eye on here moving forward once those D-zone start to creep up for him.
Yeah, and one thing he mentioned about Marcus Pettersson was a leader type, chirping on the bench all the time. He's talking, not a quiet guy. And considering they've lost JT Miller, who was such a catalyst for this team and such a vocal guy on the squad, they still need other people that are extroverts, right? And guys that are going to chat, get guys involved, you know, create some energy. And you like to have guys like that, especially on a team that has a lot of more reserved personalities. And he talked about how he's willing, he's not afraid of saying what needs to be said. He has leadership qualities, adds to the room as much as he adds to the ice. And we talked about the degree of difficulty. We talked about how Elias Pettersson was sheltered and cocooned, like the head coach said. Marcus Pettersson was thrown to the deep end. It's like, go deal with Nathan MacKinnon all night. Mm-hmm. And he was great doing that, but the coach really liked the leadership qualities he also brings.
Yeah, and that he spoke to Sitter.
Sitter, yeah.
Got the big thumbs up from Sitter over there.
Yeah, somebody texted in and said another Sidney Crosby reference caches.
Yeah, he's probably pumped up to see him in a couple of days at Four Nations. Yeah. But look, what Marcus Pettersson, like, the as you mentioned, the deep end, it's a tough environment he's been thrown into because he's yet to have Quinn Hughes out there as well to take away some of the defensive responsibility. Not that Quinn's going to play in his own end, but Quinn creates his own orbit basically on the ice. And so what does that do for the other guys too? So it's a lot of heavy minutes right away for Marcus Pettersson to get thrown into this reality and doing a fantastic job with it. And this one, 650 from Lorne, loving the new player tonight. And Marcus Pettersson, MP, equals the politician. So we're all looking for nicknames for these guys. So that one's coming in from Lauren. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
You see me working.
I see you working. I like it. And, you know, the other things he talked about, he gave Hoglander credit, right? He talked about Carlson, mm-hmm. Hoagie, and Blugs and how they need to have that identity, working hard and bringing energy, and they brought it here. And that's what you mentioned. You know, you're playing a fourth-line role. Your minutes are limited, so you better bring energy when you're playing those minutes.
Sorry, I just want to cycle back because I wanted to bring up this text here to Marcus Pettersson. It's an unsigned text. Was at the game tonight, saw Marcus Pettersson tap DPD on the back after serving his penalty, and nice to see how quickly Marcus is acclimating to the team. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. And, yeah, look, there's so many texts coming in about how there was a team spirit, a unified team spirit. Filip Hronek goes to the penalty box to go tap DPD as well to say, like, hey, well done, stepping up on that moment in the neutral zone. There was a lot of that. Hoglander, there's that identity, right? If you're going to be the fourth line, be energy. Stick up for your guys. And Hoglander's there to defend Linus Karlsson in that spot. And there's some thoughts here coming. Just love the bite from our young Swedes out there. Team starting to play together. D-Core looks fully transformed. Cannot wait for Hughes to come back. It's unsigned in the inbox.
Yeah, these two games, we haven't seen Quinn Hughes and how he's going to be mixing in with this group when he returns. Team looking a lot different after the moves they've made. And, you know, fans have been clamoring for the team to play better, obviously, and their stars to be their stars. But one thing that, you know, they've been talking about a lot is more speed, more toughness. And all of a sudden, they have more of that in the lineup.
Yeah, and they needed to get it in the top six more than anything. And Rick Tocchet mentioned talking about breaking it up and switching Besser and Garland and getting O'Connor up there. But just like more than anything, they just need some more pop in the top six. Hedl's done a great job of that. He mentioned O'Connor and those guys, their willingness and their speed to take the puck into the middle of the ice off the rush. And it's helping that the rush game, and obviously a big shout out to both Pettersons in the back end helping transport the puck. But like, you can see it right away with Hudel and O'Connor, just what a difference that made today in the top six.
Yeah, and obviously talked about Demko being outstanding as well tonight, and And one thing we'll talk about more on the other side, I know people are also defending Pettersson, Elias Pettersson, that is. And we'll get to more of your thoughts on the text inbox. Your phone calls are coming up next. And we'll hear from more Canuck players, plus Ian McIntyre on the Canuck Central Post Game Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canuck Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Post-Game Show on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hronek from behind his own net. 45 seconds left in the power play. Bank pass left wing for DeBrusque. Into the Colorado zone. Played into the back door. Besser scores! A quick strike counterattack for the Canucks on the power play. And Brock Besser finishes it off. It's 2-0 Vancouver.
And Brock Besser gets goal number 17. This starts behind their own net. Filip Hronek with a great pass to Jake DeBrusk. Soft hands from DeBrusk as he just sauces in a pass. Beats Sam Girard, and Brock Besser just slots it past Mackenzie Blackwood. But this is great decision-making by Hronek to make that stretch pass. And then Jake DeBrusk, who scored the first goal of this game, plays playmaker to make it 2-0 Vancouver.
Canucks go on to win 3-0 over the Colorado Avalanche, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah and Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. And we are going to go to the phone boards coming up in just a moment. Before we do, Bick, get a couple text messages in. There's one that we got that said Elias Pettersson is getting a lot of grief. People are trying to run him out of town again. Jeff and Cowichan was saying that too earlier. And this one here was saying he was good defensively. Maybe he's more Carboneau than Lafleur, more Lehtinen than Modano, more Kopitar than Robitaille. How many 100-point, 200-foot players are there? Not many is the answer. And fair enough. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, the salary cap, we're all salaries, all these things, you know, expectations are higher. But totally fair to talk about him being good defensively, because generally that's what he has done, Bick.
Sure. I mean, Anze Kopitar put up a 92-point season in his age 30 year.
Yeah, for sure. And
right?
I mean, like, Pettersson has put up those years. It's like, do it again, right? Like, 100%. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, star-level players. Like, I've got all the time in the world for, like, backing a guy and, like, 100%, like, put your faith in it. I got a lot of faith in the ability of Elias Pettersson, as we've talked about on this. But you know what changes everything? Like, the money changes it all. And the 11.6 is not representative of production. The 11.6 is a reflection of you can influence the game to win. You're paid to win. And your best contribution to winning is going to be production. And that, like, that's the sequence of thought here. And so when you're not there, like, that's what people are going to point to and say, hey, we're not winning enough. You're responsible for it. And that's what 11.6 represents, more so than anything. And so, like, we're all just in a frustrated state right now.
Yeah.
Some people are a bit more emboldened by it because they've never really believed in the player. Some people are like, dude, you're better than this. What's going on here?
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. I think most of the people are in that spot.
And I've always maintained, you know what the best trade the Canucks can make is? Getting the old Elias Pettersson back.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see here in Vancouver. What, you read something here before we...
Someone bookmarked a bunch of the texts here, but one from Brandon and Poco, who's always quick on the jokes for 60, Satyar Dundee.
That's good. That's Alex from Vancouver. When are you putting shrimp on the Barbie?
Yeah,
I'm not doing the accent. I mean, so I'm just going to leave it. All right, let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650. Let's start things off in Maple Ridge, where we have Jeff on the line. Jeff, thanks for calling in, man. What are your thoughts here tonight? Jeff? Do we have you? I'm not sure we have Jeff. We'll try to get back to Jeff. Let's go to Vancouver, where we have Harry on the line. Harry, thanks for calling in, man. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Yes. I generally thought they played a pretty good game. Unfortunately, it seems like they played a pretty good game, and I don't want to pile on Pettersson here, but kind of in spite of Petey. And this kind of reminds me a bit of like the second half of last year playoffs where team plays well, everything's clicking. That, you know, this is without Hughes, but they're kind of doing it in spite of Pettersson, and even Tocchet was like, well, he didn't give the hard matchups to him. He gave them to Suter, which is a bit odd. Again, I'm not trying to pile on, but is this me? Does it seem like this? We're watching a player who's just waiting to get traded. Like, I get the sense that we're watching him play, but I think, honestly, I don't know if you guys in the media, people watching, like, I don't, like, sense we're going to get anything different before the trade deadline, before the end of the year. This is what we're seeing. I know he might be better later, next year, years before, another team, but I wonder if this is a player just waiting to get traded.
Thanks for the phone call, Harry. I mean, it's really difficult to get into anybody's head. Mm-hmm. Are they waiting to get traded or not? I mean, he said he wants to stay here. He's gone to the team and said he wants to stay here. So, you know, I don't know. I can't answer that question, right? My guess would be no, he's not waiting to get traded. Maybe he's afraid of getting traded.
Sure. Yeah.
In that sense, right?
I just think from, like, my own vantage point, right, of if I was in a spot where, like, hey, Bic, you're getting sent to Edmonton tomorrow to work at that, would be like, I'm doing everything I can to stay in Vancouver, man. I was like, you need me to work on Halvard and Brough tomorrow? I'll be there. I'll do whatever I can. I'll do the post-game show. I'll work 14 hours a day. Like,
I'm not going.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Yeah. No, it's fair.
I'm doing whatever I can to stay in the spot I want to.
No, I'm with you on that. All right. Before we get to some player audio, let's get some text messages as well. And one comparison that's kind of leapt out here for DPD on the text inbox, there is some...
There's competing texts right now of he's comp to Edler, which is the most recent comp, or... Let's go back a few years and let's go to Matias Olin.
Yeah, Marty the Red and Doug and Delta both are comparing DPD to Matias Olin. And again, like, I want to be careful because Matias Olin was an absolute stud, you know, and he played big minutes. He was good offensively. He was as physical as they get, as nasty as they get, not afraid. And he had some injuries, obviously, that slowed him down. But even so, he was an incredible player. I'm not sure if Elias Pettersson has the same puck skills as mm-hmm. Olin had, because underrated, like, really good puck skills. That's why he was a high draft pick, right? So I don't know if DPD has that in him, but as far as the physicality, standing guys up, clearing the net, we'll see how as we talked about, because he's been sheltered, we haven't yet seen how he's going to handle bigger, tougher assignments and moments. And mm-hmm. if he can, if his IQ and processing holds up, then, yeah, we can start having that discussion. But as far as the physicality goes, I totally understand where fans are going with it.
Matias Olin was a heavy, heavy body, too.
He was probably a little bit bigger, too, than DPD.
Yeah, he's like, what, 6'3",
I think?
Well, DPD's 6'3", I think.
I think.
Just on top of my head, I would say, like, 6'4", 225.
He was 6'4", 233, 6'4", 233.
There you go.
Elias.
And yeah. I would say that's, like, an easy 230 as well. For Matias Olin.
Yeah, Elias Pettersson, 6'3". Now,
but again, age range here. So we'll see what kind of body he grows into. But the thing is like, he still looks like he's 21.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's
going to
be a lot
of
beef added to the frame. So I'm excited for what that looks like.
Yeah. I did see online that he's also been listed – DPD at 6'3", 209 pounds. I think that sounds a lot more accurate compared to the listing.
That feels way more
accurate. Listing of 188 pounds. There's no way, right?
Yeah, he does not look.
So I don't know if he's going to be he's not 6'4", obviously. I don't know if he's going to be 233 pounds the way Olin was. But
and move the weight.
And move the weight, yeah. And, you know, obviously he had some knee injuries which slowed him down as he got a bit older. But, you know, that was an incredible, incredible player back in his day, Matias Olin. And even the Edler thing, I mean, Edler, different kind of profile of player. But along the wall and the physicality and clearing the net, I think do see some similarities.
The phrase Rick Tocchet always uses, you know, squash the play along the wall.
Yeah.
How many times did you see that tonight?
Broke the cycle
at
up.
At least three.
Yeah.
From DPD tonight.
Caden Abbotsford says, what a fantastic performance from our team. The Miller trade really stung, but I can see the future paying off. The energy, the vibes, it was all there. A list of all players that looked fantastic tonight, but I know one player who didn't, but I'll save that for another night. Thanks, guys. That's Caden Abbotsford.
Yeah, no, again, like, go through it. I genuinely have a note on, I think, every single player tonight except for one. So it's like, it stands out. But, like, everyone contributed. So what we started the tone of the start of the postgame show,
yeah,
that like the, every element was necessary in this game. Your ability to raise your level of play, what are the coaching staff going to do to make adjustments, and like as far as like guys, like the three least noticeable players for me tonight were probably Elias Pettersson, Pew Suter, and Kiefer Sherwood.
Yeah, and Suter had a really tough matchup.
He was put in this impossible task.
Yeah.
He had 21% face-off in the draw tonight, but it was like, yeah, you're asking to go up against Nathan MacKinnon. I think I'd be hard-pressed to find like a worse situational matchup for Suter because it's like a really pacey line.
Again, I don't want to, you know, for as good as Pettersson was defensively, it's still also like...
He's not going against the Toffs.
You know, he didn't do that. Now, how much of that is because his confidence is not there maybe again? But again, like, you see the usage by the coach. That's telling.
That's a message sent, right?
It's telling.
Like, well, yeah, you can play 17 minutes, but it's not out there against Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah. Cedric in the WAC, to the point you made about adjustments. I know you guys said the Canucks picked up after putting the lines in a blender. Who do you actually want to see playing with each other, lines or duos that you think work tonight, Cedric in the WAC? I wasn't sure if I loved O'Connor with Hedl, to be honest. Like, they had some moments.
It's Besser and Hedl to me. That's,
what I like. I would rather actually have O'Connor with Pettersson and DeBrusk even.
Sure.
Put one guy on their off wing. Or even Sherwood there with DeBrusk than I would O'Connor and Hedl together. I think that it's good to have the speed, of course, right? And maybe him being the F1's not the worst thing, so I'll let it play out of here a little bit. My ideal line, what I would have loved to see was, I thought Hedl and Besser looked good, but I would have liked to see you want to see if Besser and Pettersson can do a thing together, put O'Connor with Pettersson and Besser, and see if those two guys can have chemistry.
Hedl,
because
DeBrusk, Garland.
Yeah, you can do that, perhaps. But I think I don't know if I know for sure what's the best, because you have to start experimenting with these things a little bit. What I do know is, with Pettersson, though, I want a guy who's fast. I want either Sherwood or O'Connor with him.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you can do it by process of elimination, and this is where you go to that, like, recognition of, like, what to do with Dakota Joshua. Like, I think that's just, like, you can't put him in the top six right now.
No, exactly.
And put him in a checking role, let him win in that role. And you could have Hoglander be your rover of, like, okay, if we need a jump, we can move Hoglander up. But Sherwood, to me, would be a name. Obviously, Garland, Besser, DeBrusk, O'Connor. Like, just get the pop right now in that top six. And just leave Suter right now in a spot, Bluger in a spot, Hedl in a spot, and you can figure out the rest later.
Yeah, but I do think we're going to see some experimenting here to see, you know, what's going to click. Justin and Langley says O'Connor might be a sneaky good add by Alvin. He looks like a stud depth player. And, you know, and the coach kind of mentioned about him on the empty net goal, right? He said, you know, he held on to the puck. He had it. Some guys would just kind of chip it out or even ice it. He skated forward
and dragged it away from a guy and skated with it, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, so he has some more pop in his game. And keep it in perspective. I'm not saying that you know, Drew O'Connor is going to be this top six player. It's about the players the Canucks have and find the best chemistry on the lines. And I think when you look at the way Pettersson, we talk about his pace isn't there. Well, adding a player that has pace, that can get in there on the forecheck and really push the line forward, I think is necessary. And we'll see how that all goes here. What else are you seeing on the text inbox here, Bick?
Carolina from Tawasson said, in the aggregate, I think we're getting decent value on the Pettersson contracts.
Oh, yeah, that's
right,
a good
Neil
point.
Neil C, a mid-4, yeah, and 11.6. Nice work.
I see you working. Fair enough.
Sterling in Calgary, had a great feeling watching Hedl a lot previously with the Rangers. Looks like he's loving the opportunity to play more and prove the Canucks were right for trading for him and believing in him, wanting to take his game to a higher potential. You also really notice how the other Canuck forwards were lacking, seeing these guys playing so aggressive and assertive without hesitation. Jeremy in Surrey was lucky to watch DPD in Abbotsford numerous times. This is the exact stuff he did in Abbey. So glad to see that it is translating. And Andy in Langley, finally some grit, toughness, no back down attitude being shown by this team. It's amazing what a few new ingredients will do, like adding vinegar to baking soda.
Yeah, that does
vinegar,
make it pop.
So versatile.
Yeah, it is. You can do a lot of different things with it. All right, let's take one phone. You know what? Yeah, we can squeeze a phone call in as long as Sam and White Rock can be quick. Sam, what's going on, man? What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, how's it going? We haven't talked much tonight about Demko just showing up for the boys. Like,
yeah.
He hasn't been around showing up for a while, and tonight he really showed up, showed us how he could play, showed us the player he could be. So pretty happy about that one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Any other thoughts you have for us tonight, Sam?
All in all, pretty good game. Like, common sense around Vancouver here, pretty disappointed in that $11.6 million they're paying PD, but I think, you know, maybe we could have a turnaround for the rest of the season here.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hey, Sam, thanks for the phone call, and thanks for making it quick, calling in after a 3-0 Canucks win. And we make way now to the man that likes to close the show, the man we call the triple threat. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
Well, anything else on your mind, Sam?
No, you know what? He kept
it for lunch today.
He kept it pretty quick, so it was good. So I thought, you know, while you were getting situated,
he
get one more
another
thought.
Yeah, he earned another.
Yeah,
thought.
And because he knew to keep it quick, I trusted that Sam could give another quick thought.
Well, it's nice that Sam is listening and participating in the show.
Yes.
I don't know if it's nice that I'm participating in the show, but at least I don't have to listen until I get here.
Yes, I mean, that's, I think, the most positive one. But I will say that we are always very happy, and the text inbox always breaks
sure,
out. And
I'm sure it does.
It does. Like, right away, it's like iMac time. People get fired up. I bet you if I bring up the text inbox right now, it's like, yeah, there we go.
Oh, that's just my dad.
Yeah, well, perhaps. But either way, it's good to have any fans.
Well, it's nice to come and talk about a game like this. This was one of the more enjoyable nights of the season in the building.
It really was. And, you know, to the point Sam made, and we spent a bit of time, but there's so many different positive things to talk about tonight. But the guy who we got to at the end of the first segment, the guy that the media got to the end of the media availability, was the game's first star, Thatcher Demko, with the shutout and looking in his vintage form. So out of all the positives, may that have been the most positive?
Oh, easily. Because, I mean, the team has been reset by this trade, right? Like, it's a seismic shift in where the organization is going, the fact that they decided to move on from JT Miller, and they've now got four players, and there's a different energy about the team because of that. But when you look at it on an individual basis, if this team, you know, can get more of those performances from Thatcher Demko, who was, by the way, before tonight, 64th out of 67 NHL goalies in save percentage for those who have played at least 10 games. So that's how much he has struggled. And I know that Thatcher feels like that's not representative of where his game is, but the numbers are the numbers. But if he can start to play like this more often, that's a game changer for this team. That suddenly raises the ceiling again beyond just can they make the playoffs, because, you know, he struggled so much from that injury, which kept him out 8 months. I think we all knew, as did he, who cautioned us about, you know, expectations, all knew he would struggle. But, you know, it's coming up on 2 months since he's been back, and if they can get more of these performances, it just will profoundly enhance their chance of doing something this season. I thought he was tracking the puck really well, seeing the puck well. You know, he obviously that sequence he had in the middle of the game, that was let's just say it was his best minute so far this season. Who knows? He's had other great minutes in some of the games, but let's say it was his best minute, and it was how quickly he was able to react, and even, you know, for a stretch there without a stick, just tracking the puck and staying square and staying in position. But I liked a lot of what he did in the other 59 minutes, how he just was absorbing pucks when he had to take face-offs, to diffuse pressure. He didn't seem to be fighting anything. He didn't seem to be wondering where the rebound was going after he'd made a save. And by the way, I asked him off to the side, that shot early in the first, the Natchez 2-on-1.
Right.
I don't know how early in the first, but with McKinnon.
Yeah.
It went off the post. He got a piece of that as well.
All right.
So, all four posts tonight, which helped. But one of them, at least, he propelled it onto the post himself. And maybe these guys are seeing vintage Thatcher Demko, and they're being too fine with their shots as well. But, because, you know, you don't have to stop the ones that are going to hit the post as well. I just thought a lot of positive things for him tonight. But as he said himself, now you got to do it again.
Yeah.
Right? This was one game. We've seen other games that weren't like this. So now he'll try to make it two games in a row, and then three games in a row.
Are the I have a writing question for you. Are the coming of age stories the fun ones to write? Like a night like tonight, like DPD has this big game where he just kind of steps up, defends teammates, kind of does everything, and you kind of see this guy growing all of a sudden. Are those the fun ones to write?
Well, I wouldn't know because there wasn't time to do that story tonight, Dick.
Okay.
I don't
think
you're necessarily in touch with reality and how things work post game and media availability. But it is fun. I think those are the stories. There's lots of stories that are fun to write, to answer your question. Anything that shows them as humans, mm-hmm. as people, I think are, you know, I enjoy writing. I enjoy, you know, talking about things other than hockey, or at least talking about things that put hockey into context for them. But everybody loves the story of the young guy coming up. I just think in this market, too often, though, we overreact.
Sure.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
But that's our market, isn't it? That's what we're known for, being overly positive. I overreact a little bit too much when a young guy has a decent game or he scores a goal, or, you know, and you can go back and there's been all kinds of guys who got overhyped. Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't Nikolai Goldobin going to be the best Russian player since Pavel Bure?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we get carried away, but it's nice to be carried away on enthusiasm. And that enthusiasm is based on these guys coming in and showing signs. So that was, you know, it was, he skates really well for his size, mm-hmm. and somebody who plays a robust game. He can handle the puck, and he is genetically predisposed to defending.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Not all defensemen are like that. I think Tom Vilander may be a little bit the same way, but certainly the young Pettersson is that way. So these are all good things. And, you know, he'll get a chance to play some more games. He's earned that chance. And hopefully he continues to look good. But certainly he looks like a player for them for the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's got to do a little more than just have tonight, Vic, for me.
No, of course. Of course. But it's nice to see, like, guys, like, continue to showcase something.
Yeah. He's just got to show a lot more now. And let's temper our enthusiasm, you know, be positive and enjoy, as we should, what we see.
Yeah. Careful, careful not, telling people what they text in right now. We've gotten a lot of texts about
that. Let's not push them too high too soon. Let's let them just grow and enjoy it. And if everyone's enthusiasm and belief in him is well-founded, then he'll continue to get better. And then eventually I'll write that big story about him coming of age.
What about Filip Hedl, who has now played 380 NHL games, is 25 years old, has been the Canucks' first-line center by the minutes through two games, over 20 minutes again tonight, both games more than Elias Pettersson. This is the opportunity he's been craving. He's making the most of it through two games. How sustainable is this? Because he's been by far the Canucks' most dangerous forward, like, without question.
Yeah, I mean, we have no way of knowing that because we've only been watching him closely for two games.
It's so a coming-of-age first-line center.
I can't tell you if he's got another 29 of these in him this season. But he has been really good. You know, he's been everything that I think they hoped and more. He certainly, I'd say at a minimum, you can see why, even though he's essentially been third line center in his time with the Rangers, and that's reflected in his ice time, his opportunity, everything else, you can see why the Canucks believe there's a higher ceiling there, and that he can be their second line center. I don't think anybody is expecting him to be mm-hmm. a first line center, although you correctly point out, as you often do, Sam, that he did play he has played the most minutes, so he's playing first line by minutes. So fast and direct, and it's nice to see guys who have that kind of confidence. Like, we've seen players struggle, and we saw two of them tonight score goals, which is more hugely positive things that Brock Besser and Jake DeBrusque scored. But we've seen, just because they're the recent examples, when you're fighting it, how players don't have confidence, so they mm-hmm. don't want to take the shot, and they maybe don't even want the puck at times. Filip Chiodo's a guy who looks like he wants a puck every time he's on the ice. And whenever he gets the puck, it looks like he's trying to do something with it. Like, he's being direct and he's not wasting his touches with the puck. So that's great to see. And then you combine his size and his speed. Took a couple of big wallops tonight. One of them that should have been probably an interference penalty. Although the Canucks can have no qualms about officiating tonight with the way the power plays ended up. So you worry about that, Cheadle, long term, you know, with his injury history, his concussion history. But so far, just terrific. And to me, the thing I had no idea, and I would say that this is not sustainable, but he's won three quarters of his faceoffs as well. Because this is another huge factor that the Canucks have to grapple with, having traded JT Miller, who's been their go-to guy for years on the faceoffs, and it was the only one of their centers significantly above 500 for this season when they traded him. He was at 58%. Well, Cheadle has been, Don, he's been 75% in his two games, or close to it.
73 tonight.
Yeah, and he was 9-3. He was 75 last game. So if it was the same number of face-offs, both games, that would make him what, Bick, for the two games? 74%.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. 74.
74. Split the difference, 74.
I thought you wanted me to add a face-off.
No,
I was like, I can't change reality.
I'm just trying to give you arithmetic questions. You know, used to be one of the, there's not many things in life I'm good at, but I was good at arithmetic in my head.
Right.
I used to, I don't want to go off on a tangent,
yeah.
But I used to get marks deducted on my tests in high school.
Because you couldn't show the work?
I would just, just write down the answer. And they said, well,
how do you know the answer?
Yeah. People weren't allowed to use calculators. They barely existed back then.
You should have done the Matt Damon. I was like, do you know how easy this is for me? And just thrown it back out.
No, my son is like the Matt Damon. He's the one who graduated with a honors degree in physics and math. And he had the whiteboard in his room. And any time I looked at it, there was never a number that I could decipher on it.
Right. Yeah,
it was all just symbols for stuff.
Deltas and things
yes,
like that.
Yes, so I'm definitely not the smart one of the family. But I was good at mental arithmetic.
Like,
thought I'd share that.
Like the average of 75 and 73.
Yes, would be 74.
Got it.
Yes.
Can hit it hard. You got anything else here, Bick?
Any math questions?
No, I'm good.
You good. All right, I think we'll wrap it up here.
You're just kind of letting the show peter out here.
Is there something you want to talk about?
No, I don't.
No.
But it's like sad. Well, I guess we'll end the show.
No, I mean,
that's
not yet.
It.
Well, we're already we usually break at 25, so we're already past it. So I was like,
no,
if Vic has something else.
Not when I'm here. You're often 31, 32.
We break the
rules
for
you.
Your benefit.
But that's usually when you show up later. You were here before 11:15 tonight. Right. So, I mean, that's why. I gave the courtesy to extend even further with Vic before, you know, wrapping it up.
I appreciate that.
Just being, you know.
I know something I would say.
Okay.
I would say that, you know, among the positive things, and I'm sure you guys touched on this, 3 of 4 points without Quinn Hughes in the lineup.
Huge.
Yeah.
And you know, what a time for them to get Marcus Pettersson, how much that has helped. But Quinn, I know there's some people wonder, well, what does this mean for the Four Nations? You have to remember, Quinn wanted to play tonight.
Yeah.
And felt able to play tonight. Well, was able to play tonight, but and was able to play and wanted to play against Detroit. This isn't a case where a player's injured and can't play. This is a case where a player is injured and the team is prudently trying to be cautious with him. So we'll see if Quinn is practicing tomorrow and playing Thursday in San Jose. I'd be really surprised if he's not playing Saturday at home against Toronto. And I'd be absolutely flabbergasted. I'd be shocked and crushed for him if he's not able to play the Four Nations tournament. He so badly wants to go play with his brother on Team USA in a best-on-best tournament. Who wouldn't? So I think things are trending the right way with Quinn. Hopefully he'll be back in the lineup on Thursday.
Yeah, we all hope so. And it probably makes sense if you're resting him, rest him on Thursday as well. Take
probably
care of business
does.
And
probably
then play
does.
Him on Saturday.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Save him a trip to California as well.
That'd probably be wise, but we'll see ultimately what happens. We know the captain wants to play, and perhaps he's able to twist their arm, which is probably pretty hard to have the discipline to be like, no, we're going to keep you out of the lineup when you have Quinn Hughes. That's who's willing to play.
Well, they've
right?
done it twice, and I applaud them for that, for looking at, you know, things beyond just this week. But, yeah, if – if you don't want your captain to be really grumpy, you better let him play here before the Four Nations.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian, great stuff as always. I look forward to reading your latest on sportsnet.ca. He's Bick Nazar. I'm Satyar Shah. Thanks, Alina. Thanks to Eddie and all of you for listening and participating. Great as always. This has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Good night,
mate. Elias, great stuff today, mate.
Yeah, thank you so much.